The subject that we want to look at this morning is guidance of God. And it is without doubt one of the most perplexing of questions that we have to face from time to time when people seek and to know the will of God for their lives. The question comes in many different forms. Some perhaps are contemplating the question, should I get married? And if I should, who should I marry? Others, perhaps a little younger, thinking about their future, their plans for the rest of their days, what job that they want, what kind of course that they want to enroll in. Should they go to university or to technical college? Should they get an apprenticeship here, there, or yonder? And there are decisions that need to be made with regards to their future. Maybe some have been offered a new job, but it's going to take you to a different part of the country. It's a good job, but it seems too far from home. Maybe others are contemplating the question, is God calling me to the mission field? To the public ministry? There are 1,001 different ways that the question of the guidance of God has a bearing upon our lives. Perhaps you find yourself at a major crossroads this morning. You could go to the left hand or to the right. You need to know what you should do and what way you should go. And the question is upon your heart, and you're looking for the guidance of God in these matters, that you might not be out of step with God. Well, we're glad to be able to say this morning that the Bible is a book that reveals to us God's precious will. And in response to all of those questions that we've been asking already, the one that's fundamental to them all is this: what has God's Word got to say about His will for our lives? This is a book that explains to us not only who God is and what God has done, but it also describes for us how God relates to His people. Not just in general terms, but in specific terms. How God has guided His people over the various ages that are recorded for us in this book. How God guided His children in the past, and how God can still guide His children in the present. I don't think there's perhaps a more basic question that comes from the lips of any Christian than the one that was found on the lips of Saul of Tarsus when he was struck down there on the road to Damascus. He asked the Lord this simple question, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Is that not the most basic, most fundamental question that any Christian can ask of the Lord? Lord, what would thou have me to do? What is your will for my life? What way would you have me to go? What things would you have me to do for your glory? There's not a Christian amongst us that hasn't asked that question at some time or another. And I think in our better moments, these fundamental issues come to light. You see, deep down in the heart of the Christian, their foremost desire is to please the Lord. And in order to do that, we want to do the things that are important in God's eyes. We want to do the things that please our Master. We learned all too well those verses in Matthew's Gospel in our childhood days. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And that's our desire as Christians, to seek first the kingdom of God. We would gladly do what the Lord would have us to do, if only we knew what it was. So we pray, Lord, show me your will. Lord, show me which way to go. Lord, help me to decide whether I should go or stay, turn to the left or the right, go forward, go backward. Whatever the Lord would have us to do, we would gladly do it because we want to please Him. Because I think perhaps somewhere in the back of our mind, we live with a fear that when we come to the end of our life, And we are brought before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give an account of all that we have said and done, and how we have lived our lives. Our greatest fear is what? That on that day, that we find out that we have wasted most of our life. Is not our greatest fear? To stand before the Lord, and to see all that we worked for and labored for, burnt away as wood and hay and stubble. To have the Lord say to us, well, you did a good job in the things that you chose to do, but unfortunately, you missed the very thing that I put you on earth for. We all have that secret fear that we did well, but we didn't do our best. We want to hear the Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that means being faithful in the things that the Lord would have us to do. And so this question burns within us. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Lord, guide my steps. Does the Lord still guide his people? We could ask that question any number of ways. Is it possible for me, as a mere mortal, a human being, ever able to discover what Almighty God would have me to do? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, how can I make God real in every area and aspect of my life? How can I walk each day in the presence of the Lord? How can I know the mind of God when I have tough decisions to make? Can I still rely upon the Lord to help me in the difficult times of life? Does God still guide? You know, there are many places we could turn to in the Word of God this morning. Many chapters and verses that we could refer to that speak to us regarding the guidance of the Lord. But I find that the passages that we read this morning are ones that are full of illustration. These are accounts that show us most clearly how God guided his people and showed them the way. The story, of course, is that of the fiery cloud and pillar that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. We read some of the verses regarding that account in both Exodus 13 and Numbers 9. The story is that the children of Israel have left the land of Egypt behind. They've been redeemed by the Lord. The blood of the Lamb has been shed. They've been set at liberty in the gospel, and they're making their way to the promised land. And here they are, swiftly approaching the Red Sea, on their way towards Mount Sinai, their eventual destination, the promised land. But they are afraid. Even though they've been under the taskmaster's whip in Egypt, they are afraid. They're leaving the relative safety and security of life in Egypt behind, and they're setting out into the unknown, not knowing where they're going or how they're going to get there. Something amazing happens. There in Exodus chapter 13, we're told that there with the desert in front of them and the Red Sea just on the horizon, and the Egyptians pursuing them, the people are half scared to death. All they've known is Egypt and Pharaoh. And as bad as that was, at least they're secure. But what now? What do we do? And God answers their concern in a most remarkable fashion. He sends them a moving pillar to guide them on their way. And by daytime, this pillar was visible as a cloud in the sky. During the night, this pillar of cloud appeared to them as a pillar of fire. And God provided his people with a visible and unmistakable source of guidance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the instruction is simple. Just follow the cloud. Follow the fiery pillar and all will be well. Now, Numbers chapter 9 tells us just how this arrangement worked. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the tent of the testimony was established, the cloud covered the tabernacle. And the instructions were clear. Whenever the cloud lifts from off the tent, you are to set out on your journey. Whenever the cloud settles back again upon the tent, then you are to set up your camp. And Moses tells us that it was at the Lord's command that the children of Israel set out, and that at his command they encamped. We have a very clear picture of God guiding his people through their wilderness journeys. And this pillar of cloud and fire, I believe, explains to us or gives us lessons how God guides his people today. The first thing that we note regarding this guidance of the Lord in the pillar of cloud and fire is that it was given to his people one step at a time. Numbers 9 makes that very clear. The cloud would lift from off the tent of testimony and they would follow after it. And as long as the cloud kept moving, they would follow. But as soon as it stopped, they would stop. Sometimes it stopped for a night and take off again the next morning. On other occasions, it would stop for a few days or for a week or a month or a year. But the point is this, the children of Israel didn't know from one day to the next what the cloud was going to do next. And it's precisely at this point that we have our number one problem when it comes to knowing the will of God. You see, for us, knowing the will of God is like knowing the future, discovering the future. We have this impression in our mind that knowing the will of God will entail God taking the scroll of our life and unrolling it before us so that we can see the whole of our life stretched out in front of us. And we see the beginning and we see the end and we see everything in between. And to us, that's what knowing the will of God is all about. But here's our problem. God doesn't work that way. Now, I do believe that the Lord has a blueprint and a plan for our lives. The only problem is, I don't know where you're going to get a copy of it. God leads his people today in the same way that he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And how did he do it? Day by day and step by step. One of the key verses in this whole subject is found in the Psalm 119 and the verse 105, and you know it well. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the picture there is of a man who is taking a journey in the darkness. And he has a lamp with him to guide him on his way. And you can just picture the man there with his lamp holding it before him as he makes his journey through the darkness. And how does he do it? By holding up the lamp. And as he holds up the lamp, what happens? Well, it gives off a glow. And he can see a little bit in front of him. How far does the lamp shine its light? Just enough for the next step. As he holds the lamp out in front of him, that soft glow is shone on the ground before him, and he takes the next step. And what happens as he takes that next step? Well, that lamp that he's holding before him shines a little bit further in front of him. And he takes the next step, and the lamp shows a little bit further in front of him. And with each step that he takes, the lamp shows the next step, and only the next step. And he follows in the footsteps of the light that shone on the path before him, one step at a time. And where the light goes, he goes. But the light of that lamp only goes one step in front of him at a time. The light is the light of God's guidance. And the reason that so many of us get tripped up about knowing the will of God is because we want to see not one step in front of us, we want to see a dozen steps in front of us. We want to see what's away down the road. Now God may show you what's down the road, but traditionally he doesn't show you 10 steps in advance. He leads you one step at a time. And as you take that step into where God's light is guiding, then He'll show you the next step. And only when you take that step will He show you the step after. Don't think that God is going to show you the whole plan at once. Here in the book of Exodus and of Numbers, with the pillar of cloud and fire that led the children of Israel, it was revealed one day at a time. They didn't get a program for the week. Monday through Wednesday you'll be moving every day, and Thursday and Friday will stay in one place. No, as the cloud lifted and moved, they followed. As the cloud stopped and rested, they rested. God led His people one day at a time. Knowing the will of God is not about knowing your whole life in advance. That's not how God works. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Now, there's another lesson for us here, surely. And it's this, that God's guidance demands our obedience. And that's whether it makes sense to us or not. See, I get the sense when I read through Numbers chapter 9 that Moses, as he's writing these verses, is showing a little bit of frustration. He goes to great length and great pains to describe how the cloud could suddenly move or suddenly stop without any particular explanation. On occasions, they would stay somewhere for a long time and then begin to move. On other occasions, they only stopped overnight and moved again the next day. Many days, it didn't seem to make sense at all. They were stopping and starting. They were staying and remaining. Then suddenly setting off again, and no one really understood if there was a pattern or a plan to the whole thing or not. But God was leading. They had to obey. Didn't always make sense, but you have to obey. And men and women, surely the same is true today. God keeps moving. He keeps directing. And there are times that it doesn't make sense to us. God would say, move, when we'd rather stop. And sometimes He says, stop, when we'd rather move. We get to that place in our lives on occasions, and you're happy, and you're settled, and you're content, and you're enjoying your job, and your family is settled, and you've everything that you, the way that you want it, and God says, no, I want you to go and do that instead. And you begin to complain, no, Lord, but life's good. Clouds begun to move. He said, Lord, what are you doing? He just says, follow me. Might make sense now, but follow me. You have to keep moving. Can you imagine what it was like wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? There you are, year 23, only 17 more years to go, and for the last 4 years, it seems you've been walking around in circles in the desert. And finally the cloud stops. And you're somewhere south of Kadesh Barnea. You set up camp. And you gather some rocks together to make a temporary sheepfold for your flock. And just over the other side of the hill, there's water that can be watered and your family can be nourished. And everything seems to be well. And you think, well, we'll stay here for a little while. That oasis over the way is going to be useful. You set up your camp and get your family settled, and no sooner is everything in place, the cloud begins to lift again. The cry goes out the camp. The cloud's moving. Pack up your stuff. It's time to move. And you're thinking to yourself, we only just got here. I've just got the sheep fed. I've just got the tents up. I've just got the family settled. You know, there's an old Jewish proverb that was used during the times of the wilderness wanderings. Don't put your tent pegs down too deeply. And sometimes, no doubt, they were moving when they'd rather have been staying. And no doubt the other was true as well. Sometimes they were staying when they'd rather have been moving. Maybe the place they were called upon to stay hadn't very much provision. Maybe it was barren, and dusty, and dry, and full of rocks. there was no pasture for the flocks. They'd rather have moved on a little bit further, but the Lord said, no, we're staying here for a while. There's lessons for you to learn. God's guidance demanded that they obeyed whether it made sense to them or not. Sometimes the cloud and the pillar would stay in the same place for days or weeks or months or even a year. It didn't always make sense. But the guidance of God demands our obedience, whether it makes sense to us or not. God guides day by day, and He demands obedience. And one thing's for certain, God is not going to give you steps 3, 4, and 5 until you've completed and obeyed steps 1 and 2. It doesn't work that way. You obey as He commands. Now there's another lesson here, surely. That the guidance of God changes character according to the need of the moment. During the day, they were led by a pillar of cloud. During the night, when the clouds would have been obscured by the darkness, the cloud appeared as a pillar of fire. That tells us that God had one way of showing Himself to His people during the daytime and another way of dealing with His people during the night. And we come to this conclusion that God's guidance was always there, but His means of guiding changed from moment to moment. Depending upon what the need of the hour was, it had either appeared as a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. Now, when we consider the implications of that statement, it leads us to this conclusion. God is not obligated to lead you in the same way as He leads someone else. God is not obligated to speak to you in the same way as He speaks to the person beside you. We can go further than that. God is not obligated to deal with you today the same way that He dealt with you yesterday, or how He'll deal with you tomorrow. My old minister, Dr. Cook, used to say that we ought not to be guilty of putting God in a box. In other words, saying to the Lord what you can and what you can't do. And you can work this way, but you can't work that way. We ought not to be guilty of that. Just because the Lord dealt with our best friend one way doesn't mean that He has to deal with me the same way. We can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, You answered this person's prayer in this fashion, answer mine in the same fashion. We cannot put those obligations upon the Lord. He's not a God in a box. How does God guide His people? Sometimes it's through the reading of the Word. I would suggest that's the majority of time. We come with a dilemma and we come to the Scriptures and we ask the Lord, speak to me through Your Word. He speaks to us through the Scriptures as we read it. Or perhaps through a sermon that's been preached. Or maybe through the advice of some Christian friends. On other occasions, the answers given to us is through prayer. Our impressions that the Lord lays upon our hearts. Our great convictions laid upon us by the Spirit of God. Sometimes when we're faced with a decision and we don't know what way to turn, and the decision's finally made, and there's a sense of peace that comes to our heart because God gives us that peace. If you've made a choice and you have still no peace about it, you need to re-examine it. Because God gives peace. Maybe the circumstances of life are all setting up in a very clear way that points in one direction. Maybe we have claimed the promises given to us in the book of James, that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And you've asked God for wisdom to help make the right decision. Maybe it's a combination of all of those things. But here's the important point. God is not restricted to working in one way only. Our God is infinitely creative. He can make billions of snowflakes and no two of them the same. He can lead and guide each person individually in a way that's applicable to them, giving them guidance in the way that they ought to go. There was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and the Lord used whatever was necessary at whatever particular time. I have one last thought. Not only does the Lord guide us from day to day and step by step, not only does the Lord's guidance demand our obedience, whether it makes sense or not, not only does the way that the Lord guide change and differ from one person and from one day to the next. One last thought. God's guidance is only revealed as we stay close to Him. You see, in the Old Testament scriptures, this pillar of cloud and fire is representative of the very presence of God. It's known as the Shekinah glory of God. It's not just a mere symbol. It actually represented God's presence in the midst of His people. God spoke to the children of Israel from this fiery cloud. And when the children of Israel saw the cloud descend upon the tabernacle and upon the tent of testimony, they would understand that the Lord Himself was in their midst, and it was God that was leading them. And the guidance of God demanded that you stayed close to the cloud. That meant if the cloud went north and you went south, you are actually taking yourself further and further away from the presence of God. If the cloud started moving, but you remained still, with each passing moment, you were being separated from the presence of God. Knowing God's guidance demanded that you stayed close to the cloud. See, it wasn't really so much a matter of whereabouts in the wilderness that they were. They didn't need a map. Knowing the will of God is not really a question of where you should go, or what you should do, or about who you should marry, or whether you should marry at all. Knowing the will of God is not really about whether you should take this job or that job, or how many children you should have, or whether you should be a minister or a missionary, or a carpenter or a mechanic. That's not what the will of God is about. Those are secondary questions. The primary question is this: am I willing to follow God wherever He leads me, whatever He asks me to do? It's not a matter of geography or employment or marriage or any of those things. Is it, am I going to follow God no matter what? And when we come to the Lord with our questions, Lord, show me what to do. You know how the Lord responds? Stay close to me. Stay close to me. And when we cry out in desperation, Lord, give me some answers, the Lord answers back, give me your heart. Give me your heart. I love what it says there at the end of Numbers 9 and verse 23. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Here is the true secret of knowing the will of God and having His guidance in our life. It's the secret of knowing God. As you get to know God better, the more He reveals of Himself and His will to you. The closer you are to the cloud of God's guidance, the better prepared you are to follow. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Stay close to the cloud. Stay close to the presence of the Lord. That means when it comes time to make that decision, to stay or to go, to turn left, to turn right, whatever it might be, you will have all that you need to make the right decision. See, the real question is this: am I willing to follow God no matter what? Am I willing to put the Lord first in all my life? Will I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing then that all these other questions that I have will be answered in time? If we are willing to follow God, we will have His guidance. Oh, it may be one step at a time. And there may be days that it doesn't often make sense to us. And there will be occasions when the means of God's guidance will differ from one day to the next. But if I am willing to follow God and stay close to Christ, I will have it. And I will have it as I need it. So we can go home from this meeting this morning, knowing that God not only can guide, but that God does guide if I am willing to follow. Therein lies the real question at the heart of our message. Am I willing to follow God no matter what? To surrender my will and to say, in the words of the Savior, not my will, but thy will be done. No matter what. I trust that we will. And when it comes to the matter of guidance and questions and decisions that have to be made, that we will surrender all to the Lord, and that He might guide us. Let's bow together in prayer. Father and our God, we do praise Thee. That we can be found in Thy house this morning, that we can read Thy word, that we can contemplate Thy truth. And we do pray, Father, that Thou might be pleased to speak to us this day. Give us that guidance from the Scriptures. Give us that understanding of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And having revealed it unto us, give us a heart that desires to serve Thee. Let we not be those that lean upon our own understanding, but rather those that trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And we pray, our Father, that whatever direction that Thou would lead us, whatever things that Thou would have us to do, whatever questions or crossroads await us on the road of life, that we might ever be followers of the Lord. We do pray, Father, for Thy blessing to be upon us now. And though we separate from one another, might we know Thy presence with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.